You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe! My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and welcome to Episode 10 of Earth Station MCU. You can find us up on iTunes and Stitcher, and if you do subscribe to us through one of those services, please take a couple minutes and give us a rating. Spread the word to everybody you know, and join our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU. We hope to see you there. Feedback is always welcome on our Facebook group, or by emailing us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. This week, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. We've got a new Daredevil trailer and even some early reviews on that, some more casting news, some stuff on Marvel Toys, and of course this week's S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, Who You Really Are, which, for reasons unknown, I keep wanting to call That's What She Said. I don't know why, it just doesn't make sense. Anyway, it's just the two of us again tonight, so without further ado, I'd like to welcome back Mr. John Raven.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you, sir? Doing all right?
Oh, pretty good. Everything's just busy, but, you know, like I said, it's better to be busy than it is to be bored.
Absolutely. Always better to be busy than bored. I'm just finishing up winter quarter. I'm actually a professor in my secret identity other life, and it is very nice to be going into spring break. Because it has been one for the books. So, new Daredevil trailer.
Whoa.
Awesome.
Let me just say, I loved every second of it. I loved our first really good look at the Kingpin. The fights. It really seems like it's going to be just a knockdown, drag-out, gritty version of The Man Without Fear.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's been a cliche lately to say that something is... something is dark or whatever, but one of the reviews that has come out, I think it's theobserver.com, has an early preview review, and their comment is, "We've seen the first four episodes, and this show is like no other comic book adaptation on the small screen yet. The beauty of Netflix is the freedom it allows. Daredevil gets as dark as the source material requires. It's so dark, it's almost a better Batman show than Gotham." So,
if you hadn't said that, I definitely was going to. Yeah. I read their review earlier, and it's like, whoa, all right, you're going to say it's darker than Gotham.
Gotham.
I mean, especially, you know, after Jada Pinkett Smith ripped
her eyeball out. Exactly. Yeah. And dark can mean a lot of different things, of course.
And, you know, we don't know. They might have seen the first four episodes before that happened in Gotham.
True, but even then, there's been a lot of violence and a lot of, you know, going to very dark places in Gotham. So,
yeah,
you know, as much as I'm a fan of dark, it can be overdone, and that's been one of the...
That's true.
That's been one of the discussions, you know, talking about Man of Steel and some of the other DC stuff going on is, right. You know, there are times, so I'm really hoping that there's some levity and that it's not just completely nonstop grimdark bleakness.
Yeah. Well, just remember, you know, according to DC, they're supposed to be darker and edgier than us. So.
Oh, jeez. Edgy is my least favorite word. I know I keep ranting about that, but things that say that they're edgy almost never are, it seems like.
Well, you know, talking heads in Hollywood love to use terms that everybody else is sick of, but, you know, it means something to them still.
Yeah, I guess. So back to Daredevil. Yeah, it definitely mm-hmm. looks dark. It looks like, you know, we're getting the origin story kind of thing.
Yeah, not just for Matt, but for the Kingpin as well.
Exactly. And that was one of the things that I thought was neat about this trailer was, you know, you start out with the voiceover about, you know, I just want to, you know, do, you know, save my city or something like that. And it's the bad guy saying
yeah, it. Yeah, it's Vincent D'Onofrio's the one that's recording this.
Exactly. And so, I mean, that definitely gives mm-hmm. you the indication that this is coming. It's not just good guys and bad guys. They're going to be presenting Kingpin as somebody who has real motivations and is not just some power-hungry, you know, bad guy.
And that's one of the great things. Like, the greatest bad guys are the ones who believe that they're the good guy, that they're doing the right thing, like Magneto in the X-Men movies.
Absolutely.
He believes that he's doing the best thing for his people, mm-hmm. even if that means, you know, being a terrorist and killing a lot of innocent human beings.
Yeah. His people, and I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, you're fighting for your people, but how do you define who your people are and to what lengths are you willing to go to protect them? And clearly, you know, Kingpin has his, you know, his approach to it, and that's gonna, you know, bring him into conflict with Daredevil. Some neat things that I admit I probably would not have caught, but thank mm-hmm. heavens for all the people that go out and do screenshots. They mention Ben Ulrich.
Yep.
So can you tell us anything about him?
Let's see. I'm trying to remember the actor's name who plays him because he's been in
Bondi Curtis Hall.
Yeah, Bondi Curtis Hall, whose last thing I saw him in, I watched the other day, was he's in Coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
He's the vendor at the basketball game that recognizes Eddie Murphy because he's from okay. like he's from that country.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So
he's definitely a good actor, and I mean Ben Urich is definitely like a major part of Daredevil's supporting cast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, at one point he even is able to figure out who Daredevil is, but. You know, instead of running the story and probably getting himself a Pulitzer,
yeah, mm-hmm.
he keeps it to himself.
Very
and
cool.
He decides that, you know, the city needs Daredevil.
It they've got a couple of shots in the trailer of him having like a chart of different cards and everything, which
right.
I guess you know that they show the King card and of course then show Kingpin, so that's a
right.
nice little connection there. Very, very brief shot of Karen Page.
Yes.
That's played by Deborah Ann Wall, who was
yep.
in True Blood, which I love to death. It looks like this is a first introduction of her character.
Right. It looks like they kind of Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson kind of come to her rescue, and I guess that's how she becomes part of their group, ends up becoming their secretary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's in the comics. She's kind of a love interest, right?
Yes, she was a love interest for Matt Murdock. You can stick your fingers in your ears if you haven't read the comics and don't want things spoiled for you. She was a love interest of Murdock's. Then she went off to L.A. to become an actress. That didn't work out for her, and she ended up getting into porn and drugs and you know, bad things happened to her in life. She eventually comes back to Matt, cleans up. Then during Kevin Smith's run, things get worse for her because at first she like announces to Matt that she's got AIDS.
Oh, God,
and,
wow.
Then it turns out that she actually doesn't have AIDS. It was all just a trick by Mysterio, who decided he was tired of fighting Spidey and wanted to fight Daredevil instead.
Wow, that is beyond dark.
And then
wow.
in the fight between Daredevil and Mysterio, she accidentally
mm-hmm.
gets killed.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you can stick your fingers out of your ears now.
Okay. You hear that, Mike Gordon? I know you don't like spoilers, so.
I don't think that's going to happen to her in this series, but.
Yeah, right. I mean, only if you know, that would be something a lot further down the line.
Right.
Again, and it's funny because not only is it dark thematically, it's literally dark in this trailer, because there are a bunch of shots of things that people have screenshots, and I'm like, I don't remember seeing that, but it went, things go by really fast.
It's like,
and
like it's, the back of the truck for Age of Ultron. Like,
exactly.
There's something back there I can't see.
Right, exactly, because they have a shot that I would not have recognized, is Rosario Dawson, who's the Claire Temple in the Luke Cage show. So it looks like she's going to be on this,
and she's
probably
going
to cross over to all
of them.
Yeah, right, exactly, the night nurse. So it makes sense for her to be, you know, the one who's patching up all of these superheroes.
Right.
So that's a cool little, it's all connected thing of everything coming together. So that's pretty cool.
Definitely.
It talks about his father battling Jack Murdock, and we see a shot of the back of him.
Yep.
And if you remember a few weeks ago, we were talking about him fighting Crusher Creel, who is the guy... Absorbing Man, right. The guy who turns like everything to ashes and stuff, who we've seen on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So another cool little connection there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they talk about how there's some crossover of characters with Spider-Man in comics, going back to some very old comics.
Right.
And of course that last shot of the trailer of the guy Wesley Owen Welch, who I guess is one of Kingpin's guys.
Yeah, I believe he is. He's like, if I remember correctly, he's like the Kingpin's lieutenant, like his right-hand man.
Mm-hmm, yep. And he has that crack about, you know, it's not like he has an iron suit or a magic hammer or something. So
like he took all you guys out, he's got nothing?
Yeah, exactly. So that's another nice little nod. So yeah, lots of cool stuff in the trailer. It's been nice because we've been getting a lot of casting news,
mm-hmm.
but it's been kind of hard to, you know, to picture people in the roles that they're going to be or figure out who they're going to be and stuff. And this is great because this really lets you put names and faces and characters together.
And I mean, a couple things I loved, especially about the cast, like
one
of the things I loved really in the trailer was seeing Stick.
Uh-huh.
Because Stick, of course, is a major important person to Matt Murdock's backstory and kind of trained him to use his powers, trained him to coping with his blindness and figuring out ways around it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love to see that they cast Turk,
mm-hmm.
who is in the comics, he's kind of a punching bag for Matt as Daredevil. He's basically Matt's go-to informant, you know, low-life scumbag.
Snitch.
He's the snitch who somehow manages to keep having information on what's going on in the underworld, despite the fact that everybody knows he's a snitch. Like, everybody knows that Daredevil just has to beat the crap out of him, and Turk will tell Daredevil anything.
And yet he still keeps finding things out.
Yep, and
that's handy.
Yeah, and there have been a few times as well when Turk has managed to get his hands on somebody's armor or some kind of, you know, super
stuff.
Yeah, super technology or whatever, and Daredevil still beats him because Turk has no idea how to use it and is completely incompetent.
That's interesting. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We'll be looking forward to that. Another thing that, again, went by so fast that I never would have made the connection. We talked about Seagate Prison being an element in Daredevil and also having been the prison where Trevor Slattery was in All Hail the King.
And where we see Matt Gerald.
Exactly.
Matt Gerald? How do we say
I'm guessing Gerald, but,
all right,
but I'm
Matt
not
Gerald.
Sure. Exactly.
Mr. Gerald. No,
yes, and he's been cast in as Gladiator or Melvin Potter in Daredevil, and he was in All Hail the King, but I'm not sure if that's supposed to be the same character or what.
You know what? We don't know, and they don't really say anything. I'm trying to remember. Give me a second. I can find out.
Well, he was the character in the short was White Power Dave, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if if that would make, I mean, not knowing who Gladiator is, I have no idea if that would make sense for that to be the same guy.
I mean, it could be, but, you know, Melvin Potter is not really like a white power guy in the Daredevil series.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's still interesting to see how that tie that to. And I mean, there are some times when they will reuse actors like Sousa, you know, from Agent Carter, had been one of the cops in Avengers, I believe. So it's not necessarily a connection, but it could be. And, you know, it's all connected, like they say.
Absolutely.
There's some other casting news. I'm trying to see if any of these don't overlap. We've got Rob Morgan is going to be playing Turk, who we just talked about. Matt Gerald will be Melvin Potter, a machinist caught between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. Peter Shinoka has been cast as Nobu, a businessman with an agenda all his own. And we've also got somebody cast as Madame Gao and Vladimir and Anatoly, two Russian brothers looking to forge new names for themselves in America. Are those all ones that you recall from the comics, or some of those brand new?
No, I think they're mostly brand new. I'm not sure who the Russian brothers they might be somebody, but you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
And we talk about things all being connected and actors playing different roles. Something that got pointed out to me this week in our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. costuming group was, you remember Dr. Levy from last week, one of the Inner Circle Hydra who got killed.
Right.
That's the same actor as the guy who's with Baron Strucker at the end of Captain America Winter Soldier.
Ooh.
And, I mean, they don't announce him by name or anything, but he does make reference to Strucker in the episode.
Yeah, exactly. So that would definitely...
more than likely the same guy.
Right, and so he's probably got some kind of, you know, eternal youth mojo or something, because he looked old, but not that old.
Well, you know, he looks old at the end of Captain America Winter Soldier. And, you know, he doesn't...
Oh, that's true. Okay. Yeah. You were saying Winter Soldier. For some reason, I was thinking first.
Right,
Avenger.
No. He's the guy behind Strucker that Strucker's talking to and talking about miracles.
Oh, in the tag scene at the end of it. Ah, gotcha.
So, yeah, apparently that... I would be 99% sure it's the same character.
Yeah.
So he won't be showing up in Age of Ultron now.
I guess not, because he's already... bit in the dust on that. There's a quote that came out this week from executive producer of Daredevil, Steven DeKnight. The challenge in bringing villains to the screen is always in portraying them as three-dimensional characters, and he goes on to talk about how good the actors are. It really seems like, you know, this is going to be something that is as much from the... It's going to be presenting a very gray picture of things, as opposed to, you know, something like Agent Carter, where the good guys are the good guys and the bad guys are the bad guys, and, you know, never the twain shall meet. So,
and I mean,
it's good. I mean,
look who we got to be the Kingpin. I mean, got, you know, Mr. Full Metal Jacket.
Exactly. And I mean, Vincent D'Onofrio is just such an amazing actor. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does with that. So that's pretty exciting.
It's really hard not to, like, consider every single major role that he's done, everything that had just serious kind of gravitas to it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, even something like, you know, his character on Law and Order. Law and Order was kind of one of those shows that, you know, it was like, wow, can we actually do anything new with it? And he got me watching the show again, so that was pretty impressive. Another thing that came out this week was there was a British website called The List that had an interview with Mike Coulter, who's playing Luke Cage.
Yep.
And again, with the dark stuff, the headline for this one is Luke Cage is a darker, grittier, more tangible hero. So it sounds like all these Netflix series are going to be on the dark end. And edgy side.
And that's true. I mean, even with, you know, we can imagine with Jessica Jones that they're probably going to go there now. Now that everything else is being, like, Daredevil's being described as dark and Luke Cage is being described as dark, they're probably going to go they're probably going to do or at least
the Purple Man
hint,
stuff.
Yeah, hint highly at Purple Man's rape of Jessica.
Yeah, and that's going to be that was something that I thought, okay, there's no way they're going to go there, but it sounds like maybe they are.
They could. And speaking of Purple Man, you know who dropped by the Marvel offices this week?
Of course. I've been squeeing over all the pictures of David Tennant.
I saw the picture of him next to Purple Man, the banner, and I'm like, you know, my friend Blake works at Marvel, and I was like,
oh, cool.
When is there? Because Blake loves to take pictures of himself with guests and celebrities that drop by. I mean, it's part of his job to interview them.
Nice.
So, you know, of course he snaps a picture and he'll put it up in an album that says, you know, my need to be seen next to famous people. So
nice.
I'm like, well, as soon as I saw the picture with the background or with David Tennant there, I'm like, all right, when am I going to see a picture of Blake with David Tennant?
Yeah, definitely. And for any of our listeners out there, I think is it North Carolina Comic-Con? Has that already happened?
No, it's not North Carolina Comic-Con. It is yet another Wizard World show.
Wizard World, right.
It's Wizard World Raleigh that's going on this weekend.
Yep.
Which,
so if there's any of our listeners out there that go to that, I'm hoping that David Tennant will talk a little bit about his Marvel stuff. So if you get any interesting information, please join us on our Facebook group or drop us an email, because we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, and you're probably not going to be able to ask him anything in line for the pictures. I know it's
probably not.
Yeah, one of the things that's keeping me here this weekend is the fact that his photo, like a photo with him at Wizard World, was $110.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah,
I think that a lot of the time when someone's involved in something current, they're just told you can't
Don't
talk to people at all.
Say anything. The funniest reaction I've seen to not being able to talk about a film actually involved Sylvester McCoy.
Okay.
When he was when we had him at Dragon Con, and he starts talking about The Hobbit, and you know he'll like muffle his mouth over his arm anytime he's acting like he's about to say something, like a leak something, like, oh, you know, if you've ever seen me in this, well, we know you go over to here and we see this.
Yeah, they're. Movie studios are very serious about keeping things under wraps.
Absolutely.
So
and they cost you a lot of money if you break those non-disclosure agreements.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. Although, you know, it's I know that there have been leaks of some things, like Idris Elba telling people that he was going to be in Age of Ultron. And he apparently said that he's going to be in it and Tom Hiddleston. So I'm assuming that's going to be a Scarlet Witch flashback kind
well,
of thing.
Well, we've been told at some point that Thor goes to Asgard to retrieve something to help fight Ultron discovers some kind of secret while he's there. So I assume that's where
that
Hiddleston and Elba come into play.
Sure, sure. But yeah, he got in all kinds of trouble for saying that at all. And,
oh, I didn't even see the trouble with it.
Well, Joss Whedon made some comments about how disappointed he was, or something like that. So they don't like it when you talk about these things.
No.
So.
And yet, for some reason, they get upset about that, and they still won't show us anything really of the Vision.
Well, but I think that's good. I think it's good that there's something that they're holding back, because, you know, if you... I know you're biased on that particular
I'm biased, but at the same time, I feel like we've gotten the major details leaked out of him already, so why they're still maintaining radio silence is questionable to me.
I don't have a problem with that, because honestly, as... I'm one of these people that if spoilers are there, I'm gonna look at them most of the time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it really stinks when you get to a movie or a TV show or whatever, and you don't get the surprise factor. You know, you don't get the "oh my god" moment that other people do. Like with me in the last episode of Agent Carter, where I had looked it up on IMDb and saw Toby Jones was going to be in it. I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't know that, but. Anyway, there's an interview that came out this week with the producers of Agent Carter and talking about Civil War. And, of course, there's not much that they can say, again, like we've been saying.
Right.
But they said, hopefully, if we did our jobs properly, when you see Cap 3 or other things in the Marvel Universe, some of the character stuff is going to be laid out a bit more with Howard and Peggy and Jarvis, who live on in other ways in the storyline.
And so, I do love the fact that they would say, hey, can we come in and do such and such? Yeah.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. It says, and apparently it's still up in the air for everybody as far as, you know, if Agent Carter's going to come back, and if it does, what they're going to be doing. There was a rumor about changing the location of the show to Hollywood, which is just, I can't see
I'm
that.
I'm not sure how that's going to work.
Yeah, I don't know how they would do that, but, you know, we'll see. It does say other things to look out for if the show comes back. Carter's future husband, although Butters, one of the showrunners, said they'd rather keep things platonic for a while. And her quote was, "The amazing thing about Hayley Atwell is that she has chemistry with everyone."
Yeah, so they're trying to, like, still keep it under wraps who that person is. I would still lean on Sousa more than Thompson. But
yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
Or,
definitely,
you know, possibly even somebody we haven't met yet.
Absolutely. They also said if Carter gets a second season, they've talked about turning the show in 15-minute-long thrilling adventure-style podcast episodes, which would be neat. Man, can you imagine if they did like the radio show that they keep coming back to and touching on in the show as like an ongoing podcast to go along with the show? That would be so cool.
Now, that is definitely something I would listen to. So, Marvel, I'm just saying, you would have people downloading this and listening to it. It would be worthwhile.
It would be worthwhile indeed. Yes, absolutely. So, all you Marvel people who are listening to our podcast, please take note. Definitely. Another little tidbit about movies and crossovers and whatnot. There's one of the Marvel, not Marvel official blogs, but there was a MCU-related blog that was talking about, let's see, Rod Hallett is, because this is talking about the possibility of the Ten Rings being in Ant-Man.
Yes.
And it says he's credited as a member of the Ten Rings organization, which was, of course, responsible for kidnapping Tony Stark and the whole origin story.
Right.
The organization was idle for a few years in the MCU before returning in All Hail the King and giving Ant-Man the stage to possibly tease the real Mandarin would be cool. And, you know, just talking about how that would be, you know, one of those fan service things where everybody would be totally excited about that. So,
and I definitely would. I mean, it's not really like Ant-Man and Mandarin have ever really had any interactions, but if they're bringing him back in this, they might be trying to set the stage for something more important with the Mandarin later.
Right, right, like exactly.
Maybe somebody's finally agreed to Iron Man 4 and we just haven't heard about that yet.
Yeah. Something not related to movie plots and casting and whatnot was the rumor that Marvel's not going to be coming to San Diego Comic-Con.
And that apparently was from Marvel PR guy, director James Gunn.
Exactly. Yeah, not exactly been, Marvel PR guy.
Yeah, I almost went to some of my friends and like, so, when did you guys hire James Gunn to do all your announcements?
Yeah, seriously. So what do you think the odds of that are, of that being actually true?
I don't think it's going to be true at all. I mean, they may have a reduced showing from what they've had before, but I know the guy, Michael, who runs their booth, is definitely saying, no, Marvel will be there. At least, you know, so at least the Marvel booth will be there, but we don't know what Marvel themselves is going to have set up or bringing out into the major halls at San Diego.
So they may not be doing a big Hall H chat or something like that. But
yeah, we don't know yet. I wouldn't be surprised if they at least did something, but you know, that's not going to be known for a couple more months anyway, what they're going to be doing there.
Right. It just seems fishy to me that they wouldn't go. I mean, it seems like there's no reason for them to not go. I mean, they've certainly got enough stuff to plug. On the other hand, I know that, you know, since they're, when they did the announcement about Phase 3, well, the announcement they did where they were talking about all of the movies going forward,
they did that
just independently.
Thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're moving in that direction. Who knows?
Could be, or they're going to shop these big announcements and panels down around to other cons. So, I mean, we could see something at Mega. We could see something at Dragon Con. Who knows?
Maybe
New York Comic Con.
That's been something that, of course, everybody local to me has been all excited about was, oh my gosh, given the fact that Marvel is filming Civil War here, and
their Guardians 2 is filming
and
there.
Guardians 2, that's right. And interestingly, again, if there's anybody from the local area, they just posted up requests for extras for Civil War, and we're talking about how what the code names for the series were going to be and stuff. So very, very exciting time if you're got some time on your hands here in Atlanta, and if you do, let us know all the interesting dirt on that. So the last thing I want to talk about before we get into the show, there was something that came out this week talking about Marvel broadening the scope of their marketing, and
yep.
I am very excited about this potentially. The problem is, and I've talked about this with a number of people before, I love female action figures, and I think they're great, and they should definitely have more of them. But the problem is, when a store buys things that are female action figures or anything that is perceived as being for girls or women, most of the time they don't sell. And so that just tells them, oh, well, then it doesn't make sense for us to produce these because nobody's going to buy them. But it's really
a vicious
circle.
The almighty dollar guides all decisions. But, yeah, it does end up being kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, if you don't put it out there, nobody knows it's there. Nobody buys it.
Exactly. And so, like, you know, I used to go to comic shops for other stuff, and if they had a female action figure, I'd buy it. But at this point, I've gotten used to the idea that I'm never going to see them in comic shops, so when I want to get one, I just get it online. And it's one of those things where even if stores around me were putting them on the shelves, I wouldn't know because I've already given up on finding them in stores. But it's one of those things where if they did more marketing, if they were willing to make the investment in building up that market, it could potentially be huge.
Absolutely.
But
then you get bonehead decisions like what happened with Young Justice, where girls were going out and buying all the action figures, and Warner Brothers looked at that and said, well, that's not right. Let's just cancel the series because that's not our target audience.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and they were quite, like, the showrunners for Young Justice were quite ticked about it when it happens.
Oh, my God.
You know,
God.
To them, any audience is a good audience.
Of course. That's... Oh, my God, that makes me want to scream. Anyway, so hopefully the message has gotten through to Marvel and Disney, and especially when you think about the connection with Disney. You know, Disney is...
Hello?
Disney has been, you know, doing stuff with, you know, with marketing stuff to girls and boys, so it's not like they don't know how to do this, so...
And, you know, another interesting marketing thing, apparently I found out, because when I was working at Toys R Us, and I see all the stuff for Disney princesses, I'm like, where's something for the dudes? You know, where's Prince Adam? Where's,
stuff for the guys, yeah.
Right. Where's Hercules? Where's all that? And, like, somebody told me, well, apparently they tried a Disney Heroes line at one point, and interestingly enough, that didn't sell. The boys didn't buy that, so they just gave up marketing the male Disney characters to boys and just focused primarily on the female characters, marketing them to the girls.
Yeah, like if you go to Disney, they have when they're doing some kind of promotion, they'll have like pirates and princesses, and all the girls get a little crown and all the boys get a little sword. And of course, if it was me, I would be that girl going, "No, I want the sword." But anyway, so that's a lot of news going on in the last week or so. But
one actually other bit of news. You saw the Robert Downey Jr. thing?
Oh, yes. How could I forget that? Absolutely. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Basically, it was there's a fellow out there who 3D prints bionic arms for people who are missing their limbs for mm-hmm. whatever reason.
Prosthetics, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he printed off a prosthetic in the style of an Iron Man arm for this kid.
That is so cool.
And Robert Downey Jr. presented it to the kid.
Yeah, that is just beyond cool.
It's just one of those things, like, I can't watch it with the sound because I know it's going to get me all emotional and choked
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
he actually, like, he puts on his arm uh-huh. as well and kind of, like, does a little comparison thing with the kid.
That's so awesome.
It was just full of, you know?
Exactly. And you know, Robert Downey Jr. has really been embracing the social media thing lately, too. You know, plugging his thing that we talked about with running the contest to come see right. him on the red carpet and then visit the set of Civil War and things like that. So yeah, it's cool seeing somebody other than Stephen Amell. Not that I have anything against him; he's very cool. But he's been the one superhero person that's been on social media a lot.
Well, we've seen a lot of kind of stepping up, you know,
Mark
actors
Ruffalo
that
too.
Play
mm-hmm.
the superheroes. Mm-hmm. You know, between Chris Evans and Chris Pratt,
right.
after Aurora with Christian Bale visiting the victims in the hospital.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
These guys are really, like, they're starting to step up and realize we're not just heroes on screen. We're heroes to someone in real life, too.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I'm so happy to see that, you know, people doing something beyond just the movies and sort of taking that concept of heroism a step
right.
farther, so... That's awesome. Okay, well, thank you for that reminder. I don't believe I forgot about that. But we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we will talk about this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yep.
which is not called... That's what she said.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
TV shows are canceled every year. For some, it's too soon. While others are not quick enough. Join the Dead Television Society as we review TV shows that you, the listener, suggest. The only thing is that the shows are, well, dead. Find us on iTunes or at deadtelevisionsociety.com to see which shows get dug up next.
Welcome back, and now we're going to talk about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, Who You Really Are. I don't know why I keep wanting to call it something else, but anyway, really good episode, I thought. I was not crazy about the week before, and I loved this one. So so what did you think, John?
I liked it. I thought there were a few things missing from it and kind of a few things that should have happened and didn't.
Okay, so what do you think was missing?
Well, you know, we got, you know, after everything with Cal and Raina, we got mm-hmm. absolutely none of their backstory this week.
That's true,
and,
but it looks like next week is going to be all kinds of
yep,
stuff about them.
Yep, they're going to be doing their thing next, or at least Cal is going to be doing his thing next week.
Yeah.
We don't know what Raina's going to be up to yet.
Yeah, they've you know, the pictures that they've released and whatnot have had Cal with a whole posse of people.
Yep. So he's going to bring some bad Inhumans to town.
Yep, definitely. So what else do you think?
The only other thing really though I thought was missing was Coulson finally gets a Kree there in front of him and
yeah.
doesn't really ask him any questions.
True. I mean, I don't know what do you say? I mean,
and like, hey,
in that
do you
kind
know
of
we have this guy? Do you know... And we, like, his blood made me start carving
yeah.
maps in the walls. Does that
What's
make sense
that?
To you?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They you know, I'm guessing that's something where Coulson doesn't really want to show his hand in front of other people.
Yeah.
And that's something where every time that they were together, it was in front of a bunch of other people. So
or maybe also doesn't want to let Ventak know that they had one of his people.
That's a good point. you know, oh, hey, we've been keeping one of your guys on ice.
Yeah,
know,
the
for
world,
a century,
the warlike and, alien race, you really don't want to let them know that you've got something like that.
Yeah, probably best to not piss them off on something like that. I was happy to see, well, first of all, I was happy to see Lady Sif,
yep,
because she's awesome. And she's just, that actress is great. I would have loved to see some more fight scenes, mm-hmm, with her, but it was still very cool. I was a big Warehouse 13 fan,
yep,
so I was
Eddie.
Very excited to see Eddie McClintock on there. They must have done something with his voice, right?
They did. And, you know, what I thought was, hold on, we've seen Guardians, and we saw, you know, Kree be able to speak perfectly. So what's Vintak's problem? And then it occurred to me, well, maybe, you know, obviously being a sci-fi movie, maybe there's some kind of universal translator at play anytime, you know, Ronan or the, you know, whoever the chief administrative officer for the Kree Empire was that,
mm-hmm,
Glenn Close was dealing with. And, you know, Vintak would... basically, to operate on this planet without one would have had to learn English, so his English probably isn't that great.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it was weird because at first, of course, you know, he looks very different than Pete Latimer in this.
Right.
But the voice was just so different that I couldn't tell if it was supposed to sound... You know, because I know what his voice normally sounds like, so I wasn't sure if they were doing that to try to make it sound artificial or what.
Maybe.
And anyway.
That would be a good explanation.
Well, whatever it is, it was kind of throwing me for a loop. But he was very cool. I loved the fact that that it's one of these, you know, typical things of when you're interrogating someone, mm-hmm, and they're like, oh, if you would only give me my weapon, and they're like, no, not a chance, we're not going to do that, and then he gets it and
yeah,
he starts,
it's like,
kicking ass,
yeah,
with
and
it.
He's like, well, I didn't think you were going to listen to me, so I decided to show you that I'm actually a good guy.
Exactly. by kicking your ass.
Kick your ass, then hit Lady Sif with the sticks so she gets her memory back, and then you know I'm for real.
right exactly. But that was interesting. It was neat seeing you know, her talking about some of the different alien races and whatnot. And we had a little bit more progress on the situation with Bobby and Mac, of course, with the big cliffhanger. So what do you think's going on with them? You're pulling for it being
I'm still pulling for it being they're working for Talbot. That is still my working theory. And I got kind of annoyed with Mac when he takes down Lance, like, and is absolutely convinced that Lance won't come on board. Like, you need to give him a chance before you put him in a sleeper hold.
True, but it also depends who they're working for. Because the thing is, and, you know, I was talking about this with a friend a couple days ago, if you think of Bobby as having been, like, lifelong career S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, to the point that she, you know, went in and infiltrated Hydra and everything, you know, she is super, super loyal to S.H.I.E.L.D. And it seems to me like what it would make more sense is if they were called in by Fury rather than Talbot. Because I can see that, you know, Fury totally trusts Coulson, but on the other hand, you know, May was calling him and telling him, oh, by the way, Phil's been carving stuff into walls. And I don't think they really, you know, really showed any aftermath that I can remember from that. So it would make perfect sense to me if Fury was like, okay, I think we may have to take out Coulson. You know, because that's the one person that I can see Bobby being more loyal to than Coulson would be to Fury. And him saying, you know, don't do this until you can get all the stuff back, you know, that I gave to him. And the toolbox may just be a list of bases and things like that, but I don't know. I gotta feel like it's got something else going on there.
And, you know, I think my theory that would still be Talbot is that Bobby and Mac feel very disillusioned by everything that's happened with S.H.I.E.L.D., so maybe they, on some level, agree with Talbot that it needs to be completely dismantled and taken apart.
Yeah, but this sounds like it's not just dismantling, but very possibly taking out Coulson, like killing him. And I can totally see Nick Fury doing that, unfortunately.
Well, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, but I mean, it definitely seems like, you know, they're predicting that there's going to be a throwdown between them and the rest of the team.
Right.
And assuming that the rest of the team is going to be, you know, on the other side.
Mac definitely assumes that the rest of the team is not going to be on board with what's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely.
But although I would certainly say they don't seem like they're on a bad guy's side, but they're just on a side that's definitely going to be antagonist,
in conflict
with Coulson.
Yeah, and I was absolutely floored by that last 10 seconds of him putting him into a sleeper hold and dropping him, because you know that's probably one of the best.
At least we hope Lance is asleep.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you promote a guy up to, you know, a main cast member.
Yeah, exactly. You're hoping he's going to be sticking around.
Right.
That's been the best cliffhanger that they've had, where I was just like, oh my God, I have to know what happens next. Mm-hmm. So,
and of course, you know, Adrienne Pilecki, she's now a main cast member as well.
Right.
So, you know, what's going to happen to her?
Of course, Mac isn't.
Yeah.
Right? He's the one person in that who isn't, so maybe that's who's going to be taking a dive. So
who knows?
We shall see. Indeed, indeed. Other stuff. There's the, of course, the awkwardness with Sky's little information coming out.
Yep. Gemma acts like she's all ticked at Fitz, but Fitz kind of has a good point. It was like, you're saying we should eradicate them like a disease. And like, but I was talking about Reyna. I'm like, you were going a bit. You meant more than just Reyna.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, definitely a lot of conflicts within the team.
Right.
You know, to say the least.
Standard operating procedure for a show about spies.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting that they've set it up that with Lance, that Lance and Bobby are, you know, hooked up now, and now she's got to make the decision about, you know, presumably she's going to be in on, you know, Mac's going to call her and be like, okay, so I dropped this guy. What do you want me to do with him?
Yeah, that's going to have to be something dealt with next episode. Like, how do you get rid of Lance and make it look like Lance just upped and left?
Yeah, exactly. When he's just told Coulson, oh yeah, I'm actually down with becoming a real member of the team and everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, it will that'll be interesting.
Yes, and that'll definitely make Coulson suspicious.
Oh yes. Not like he doesn't have enough to be paranoid about to begin with.
But Cal's going to come along and provide a distraction from.
Oh, exactly. Well, nothing brings a group together that's having problems like having an outside threat, right? And so everybody, I'm sure that as soon as there's an outside threat, everybody's going to forget their differences, you know, temporarily. Obviously, fun that that Sif was saying that Odin told her to come get Vintac, when of course that's not Odin.
Yeah. That's gonna become like my catchphrase, I think, for every time we mention Odin now. It's like,
That's not Odin! Exactly.
We need to record that and use it, like, play it back as a sound file.
We should. That'd be awesome. So, that was, you know, it sort of makes you wonder, was he doing that because he really wants, you know, what is he gonna be doing with a Kree?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's trying to get the guy. Or is it that he was trying to, you know, get rid of Sif, or what?
Or it could be that, you know, whatever the Kree would do on Earth might interfere with his own plans.
That's true, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely true.
Because, I mean, we know from this week's episode, absolutely, that the Kree were responsible for the Inhumans, which ties into what happens in the comics. Although I love the specific twist I loved was that Vintac wasn't coming back to activate the Inhumans. He was coming back to, you know, to put a stop to it.
Right, to stop that from happening. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When he says, you know, it's like, well, we seeded all these worlds, and it didn't work on any of them, but it worked too well here.
Right, right. And we don't want you turning into a bunch of crazy warriors that can actually be a threat to us.
Well, it was more, I think the attitude I got from him was more like, I'm coming here to shut this down because I don't want the homeworld finding out that it works.
That's true.
There's still these people running around because they might use them.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's another neat angle in terms of having a division within the Kree, as well as divisions that we're seeing within within S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything. So that's pretty cool. Not a lot of other character development. It's pretty much, you know, was just focused on Sif and some of the Bobby Mack stuff. Although I gotta say, this is something where I've been not thrilled with the writing lately, and it's very weird because I went in and looked up who the writer and director was for this on IMDb, and at least as of when I looked it up yesterday, it did not have a writer or director listed. For writer director, it just had showrunners, you know, Marissa and Jed and Joss.
Well, I mean, they do. Marissa and Jed do write the shows.
Right, but there have been other ones where, you know, it had another writer listed and a director listed. So I don't know why that was with this one, but there were just the dialogue was just way better, I thought, in this episode than we've had recently. Like there's the thing where in Portugal, the guy who is at the front desk, you know, Coulson is like, "How did you restrain her? How did you get her to stay?" And he's like, "No, I told her that, you know, the guy she was looking for was coming." And Coulson's like, you did what? He's like, yeah, I'm not the one who has to tell her he's wrong. So,
he managed to handle it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and there was, you know, the cool bit on the shore at the beginning with Sif coming out of the ocean and all that in Portugal, and you know, I felt like the
creepy local guy getting what came to him.
Yes, definitely. Getting chucked across the beach there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought the writing was stepped up. It sounded more like a Whedon type show this week. So I don't know if that's you know, the influence of maybe Joss stopped by to help on something, or if they just were picking up that voice more than they have in recent weeks, but I don't know. All right. Anything else that you thought was cool from this episode?
I did like the kind of the device that Vintec uses to make himself look human. I mean, he gets the, you know, the kind of the ridges on his forehead, on his cheeks. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's one of those things where in the comics anyway, especially with Mar-Vell, is that, you know, he's sent, Mar-Vell sent here to pass as a human.
Right.
And in the comics, at any rate, you get two kind of races of Kree. You get blue Kree and white Kree.
Blue Kree and pink Kree. Yeah.
And the white Kree are essentially treated as if they were like the minority, like second-class citizens, but become useful in order to, you know, pass as humans.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I know there was one point where people were speculating that maybe Coulson was Mar-Vell or something because of the Kree blood, but that's not looking like that's a stretch. Yeah, it's a bit of a stretch. All right, so ratings. How would you give this a rating on a scale of 1 to 5 shields, 5 being the best?
I'm going to give it 3.5, actually.
Okay.
Like I said before, I thought there were things missing. I thought, you know, we could have, like, Coulson really should have taken an opportunity at some point to ask Vintac some questions and give us a little more exposition on the Kree, but we didn't get that. Maybe they're going to tease it. I don't know. I also felt like, you know, between Reyna's subplot and Cal's subplot, especially with Cal's big villain team coming up next week, I thought we'd see a little bit more of them. So it was otherwise good, but I was a little underwhelmed.
Okay, yeah, that's totally fair. I'm gonna give this a 4, maybe a, like a 4.25. I was much happier with this than I have been with a lot of the episodes lately. Like I said, I thought the dialogue was just cracking. I thought it was really on. I thought that the way that they handled the stuff with bringing in Lady Sif, while still, you know, continuing the stuff with the Bobby Mack subplot, I'm really interested to see where that goes now. I mean, it was something where it's like, oh, that's interesting, but that cliffhanger, man, at the end, that was good TV right there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay, so you got some toys in the
mail,
so right?
I did. I got the Lego Quinjet from Avengers Age of Ultron, which, you know, we discussed before with the set and with the truck. The truck does come as part of it, and there's a little pod that the Vision can fit into and go into the back of the truck, and you can break him out of the truck. The Quinjet, it's smaller than the one that they came out with before, the one that... that you've seen in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and was in Avengers. It has a lot of really great features to it. I love the colors on it. I love the look of everything. Possibly the neatest feature, and we've seen it in the trailer where the motorcycle drops down from the Quinjet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you get the motorcycle in it, and you can put either Cap or Widow on it. There's a button up at the top, and if you press it, the bottom like opens up like a hanger, and the motorcycle will drop out of that.
That's so cool.
So that was really
cool. Awesome.
This was totally worth my $80.
Awesome.
One of the only other features that I'm disappointed with in it is kind of the rear landing gear. It's just like this one piece like you'd get with a Lego car set, and it's not very, you know, it doesn't really stand out.
Not very
it doesn't
functional.
Really wow
yeah.
me, but the rest of the set is awesome. And
awesome.
Tomorrow I'm going to be putting in an order for the helicarrier finally.
Fantastic.
From
that's
got to
be huge, right? That's
oh,
gotta
yeah.
be huge,
it's
right?
at least 31 yeah. inches long.
Wow. Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, we need to be heading out. It looks like next week we're probably going to be taking a week off, as I will be in sunny Florida on spring break. But we'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about One of Us, in which Cal gets a posse and Skye gets a therapist, and Love in the Time of Hydra, which will see the return of the guy we all love to hate, Mr. Agent Grant Ward. So have a great couple of weeks, everybody.
Yay.
And we'll see you then.
A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy. And if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I had to learn a bit, live a bit, let it all sink in a bit.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.